listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. We come back to the eternal question we've asked ourselves many times that any human being eventually has to confront and find out, is there an answer to this for themselves, yes or no? Does busting make you feel good?
It depends on what kind of busting you're talking about.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
One of these cats just busted a fart and it did not make me feel good.
Oh, sorry.
Made them feel good.
That's though. A ghost cat.
They felt good.
That's a ghost cat. Ghost cats are the most toxic.
Yeah.
You got slime.
I think that was a class 5 emanation right there.
We are talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. So this would be the fourth Ghostbusters film.
Yes.
I'm deferring to my expert over here, Mike Rioja, Spider Mike.
Yes, it's the fourth of them all, but it's the third in the original timeline.
Who's literally wearing a full Ghostbusters uniform with his name Rioja on there, yes. Except he's wearing an Avengers hat for some reason, so I'm very confused.
I lost my Ghostbusters hat a long time ago.
It now I know what to get you for Christmas. And then we've got Marco.
Hello. It took 37 years, but Ghostbusters finally has their own version of The Force Awakens. The Ghost Awakens.
That's not entirely off.
Someone to go, somehow blank return. And I say blank because if you've never seen the original Ghostbusters or any of the Afterlife trailers, you might actually be surprised to see the second most deadly villain in all of Ghostbusters appear, second after Bill Murray, of course. Oh.
This is directed by Jason Reitman, who is, of course, the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the first two films in the series. Ivan himself is still around, and he co-produced this film, and actually kind of is the guy who got it moving, really, and has been trying to get a Ghostbusters film, along with the now dear departed Harold Ramis. They were kind of the two champions trying to get another one forever, which Aykroyd and Hudson always said, yes, please, let me know when. And then
see
Bill
my
Murray.
Previous comment about Bill Murray.
Yeah. Bill Murray's like, nah. But he said about this, is the first time I've read a script that I've been handed for a sequel that I actually liked. So I said,
oh,
sure.
We're talking about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been well advertised in this movie.
Yeah. Like, I always laugh at the quote because he's like, I went to this kid's bar mitzvah and he hands me the script and I'm just like, oh my god.
You know, I think that there's a lot of stuff here that either A has been already revealed in the trailers or B was like top headline entertainment news. And it was funny because our screening started with a Jason Reitman coming on the screen going, hey, you know, we're glad you're here and it's a labor of love and yada yada, and try not to give away any spoilers. I'm like, good dude, your press team has already given away almost everything.
For the most part, there's a few things. There's some good surprises.
So we'll try not to spoil any of the big surprises past the stuff that everybody already knows or was in fact in the trailer.
There are ghosts in this movie. Shocking.
This follows not the actors that we know, but in fact a family led by Carrie Coon, plays Callie Spengler, the daughter of Egon Spengler, which was originally Harold Ramis, and her two children, Finn Wolfhard as Trevor and McKenna Grace as Phoebe. Interestingly, apparently very young McKenna Grace was like considered herself the world's biggest Ghostbuster fan in real life. So it was like for her, this was like, oh my God, I can't believe I get to be in a Ghostbusters movie. I'm so excited. And she is arguably, I would say not even arguably, she is the main character of this film.
And the best part of the film.
Yeah. Her mom, everything about Egon skipped a generation.
Oh, 100%.
She is just not that person, but the granddaughter, Phoebe, totally is. She even looks like a young female version of 100%. Egon, and she's a scientist, man. But they get evicted from their home, and they have to move out to a murder house, as they describe it, because it's what it looks like, this giant, decaying farmhouse in Oklahoma in the middle of just a nowhere town called Somerville that was left to them by Egon, who, as we see in a little sequence in the beginning of the film, something was chasing him, some sort of spectral thing, and he apparently had something set up to deal with it that didn't work.
And unfortunately, he didn't survive the experience. And all done tastefully with an actor whose, like, sort of face is just shadowed, the camera.
Yeah, it's a double that's mostly concealed. It's just enough for you to know by the profile that, of course, it's Egon.
Right. They have nowhere else to go except this place. The grandkids literally don't even know what the Ghostbusters were. After, I guess, the second movie, there just wasn't any more ghosts. No. It just wasn't happening.
They busted them all.
They busted all the ghosts, you know? They overfished that ocean.
Yes.
So there was nothing left for them to do, and they kind of split up.
It's important to remember, busting feels good, but do it in moderation.
Indeed, kids. Important safety tip. Thanks, Egon. The kids are kind of having fun looking around the house, which has got multiple parts to it, old wrecked barn and stuff, and they're finding Ghostbusters ephemera. Finn Wolfhard finds the car, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna get this started, because he's a teenager and he wants to impress a girl who works at the local burger place that he's taking a part-time job at. And the daughter, who's like a scientist, I don't believe in ghosts, but adapts rather quickly when the ghost of Egon, who we don't see a physical manifestation of, but is clearly helping her, starts manifesting and pointing her to the things in the house, the hidden things, including a trap that we see in the beginning he had hidden away.
Right. It's worth noting that this farm was actually an egg farm, but they only made Easter eggs. It was an Easter egg farm.
Nice. Yes. I mean, they even in that beginning thing, Reitman's like, this movie's filled with tons of Easter eggs. I'm sure I missed a lot. I doubt Mike missed any of them.
I got so many of them.
And this is going to annoy people to some extent that there is so much. If you're critical of it, you say fan service. If you like it, you say nostalgic callbacks. And I think it more or less fell into the latter for me most of the time. I think every once in a while it tripped over its own laces a bit. There's, you know, you've all seen the bit in the trailers with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. And I
you could that not was, get over the that mini puffs.
It was just a step too far for me. I was like, that was goofy and it really didn't need to be here. Anyway, that's just me. Not everybody agreed on that. But the point is, they discover that something directly connected to the events of the first movie is about to rear its ugly head again in this small town. And in fact, the origins of all the backstory in the first movie and the monster from there actually has its origins in the small town, which is why Egon was there in the first place. So that's the big, well, what was he doing? What was he trying to do? What was his whole plan? And so we see these kids in a very sort of Stranger Things sort of way. Like Phoebe gets her own little friend, a kid who calls himself Podcast, who's an adorable little Asian kid who's got a paranormal podcast played by Logan Kim. It's following these kids for the first almost half of this movie. I mean, we're not really seeing ghosts or what ghost there is, which is Egon. You're not seeing at all. No. You're just seeing him move stuff a bit. But it's kind of actually following the characters and letting us spend time with them and get to know them and see that Carrie Coon is very upset at her father because he just abandoned the family. And as we find out, he also abandoned all his friends and just nobody knew why he would do that. She's like, well, he was just a crazy old son of a bitch and fuck him, is her take on it.
Yeah. Apparently, the mother also ghosted. See what I did there?
Yeah. They never mention her.
Ever.
Once.
No, not once.
Chris is absolutely right. In that first half, it really does take the time to sort of establish the tone, set the characters, and kind of reintroduce all of the elements that we know from Ghostbusters. It feels like the tutorial in a game, like, hey, you never played Ghostbusters before? Here's what all this stuff does. Yeah. And then, after all of that time is spent, it just rushes towards its climax. It cuts out a lot of stuff. I came away with a lot of unanswered questions, but, you know, it was still fun.
Yeah. I can try to answer them.
That's okay, Mike. I appreciate it, though. Well, if there's anything specific, we'll keep you in mind. That's okay. For sure.
Just checking.
No extended canon stuff. That's all I'm saying. You've got to stay clear of that.
Only the movies do what I can.
Only the movies count.
I guarantee you they weren't watching any of the comics or TV shows. So.
Right. Outside of an Easter egg here or there, as Mike pointed out before, there are a few extended canon Easter eggs.
Yes, there's a couple. Not a whole lot, but there's a couple.
Nothing that like really relates directly to the story or anything like that.
No.
So it was just more like blink if you miss it. Oh yeah, that's from the thing. Fortunately, Slimer is not one of them.
Yes, that was legitimately surprising, to be honest.
This movie got me to like these characters and be interested in what was happening with them. I love McKenna Grace as Phoebe Spangler. She is just terrific in this part. Wasn't on my radar at all as a young actress, but she certainly is now. If they do another one of these, which I suspect they will. that she gets to come back and be full on a major character in it again, because she's the heart and soul of this.
I agree. And there's a reason why I mentioned The Force Awakens. I'm being a bit glib, but like a lot of movies that are part of this big franchise that's trying to attract a new audience, it's like, all right, new cast of characters that'll reflect the current demographics. You know, we're going to bring in some legacy characters and a bunch of stuff from the past. You don't have to see the original. We'll kind of explain it as we go. And it's just there to give you a sense of what the feeling of that is. The real test is, well, we saw what the sequels to Force Awakens were. And I say this as someone who liked that movie. I was like, okay, this is fine. You get the Training Wheels movie. This is the Training Wheels for Ghostbusters 2.0. It remains to be seen where they go with the franchise from here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are hints towards the very, very end and some post-credit stuff that suggest where this might be going next. But it definitely is set up with like, well, yeah, we're going to make more. Not to mention one of the production companies is literally called Ghost Corps with the Ghostbusters symbol in the letters. And
they've been trying to get more Ghostbusters projects off the ground for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But that 2016 film really hindered them.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a lot of resistance, because you cannot show Ghostbusters movies in the entirety of China, which is the second biggest audience in the world after America.
They hate ghosts.
They do not allow ghosts in movies anymore.
And Winnie the Pooh, for some reason.
Really? Winnie the Pooh is a thing?
They hate Winnie the Pooh.
I did not know that.
It might be a ghost. I don't know. It's complicated.
But, you know, a blockbuster often succeeds or fails based entirely on whether or not you can get it into China in this day and age.
Yeah.
And going into this saying, well, that'll never happen with this series, is a tough barrier to getting these films produced at all, most certainly. You know, we haven't even mentioned Paul Rudd, who I think most people were saying, even if I don't like the movie, at least it's got Paul Rudd in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Sexiest man in America.
He plays Greg Gruberson, who is a teacher at the school, who's also a seismologist, who's there because he's investigating very odd seismic activity in this town. He says, up until a certain, 10 years ago or something, there was never any seismic activity here. It's not on a fault line, nothing like that. There's no reason there should be quakes, but every day there's a quake in this town. So he's kind of moved there to figure it out. And of course, he's also the love interest for Carrie Coon, which, you know, is cute. That's one of my complaints. I kind of wish we had gotten more of the two of them together, because that's kind of that point in the movie when they're like, okay, we're going to go on a date now, that the movie just suddenly goes into fifth gear with all the plot stuff.
And a little bit.
Oh, okay. Just so we're done with the characterization shit. These guys don't really get a chance.
No, agree. And that's where a lot of things just start going by the wayside to make room for this fast-paced finale. There's a scene that I actually rather enjoyed when, after their first, ghost-busting attempt, they end up destroying a lot of property because they're kids and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They end up in prison for a brief while. We meet the
Bokeem Woodbine?
Yeah, as the cop in town. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, he kind of lays down the law. He's like, you guys did some fucked up shit to my town. Later on, no more cops in this movie.
They literally disappear from the film. That's the thing, is that this third act really goes, there's just not time for that. Quite a few times. Yeah. A lot of stuff of how? I mean,
we're
going to
break into the police station and just forget that there were ever cops
I know that the daughter is super smart and all, but they're able to figure out this Ghostbusters tech and what's going on without anything that would explain it to them, as if it's the Jungian unconsciousness.
Some of it's answered with the fact that the spirit points them in the right direction for a lot of it.
And but he wasn't in the car with them all those other times.
Yeah.
There's enough stuff down there that they probably got some of the idea for some of it out of it, at least. But no, I'm not going to pretend that everything is down there, because there are sometimes where they pull off some stuff, they're like, how in God's name did you know how that worked?
No, I know. And it just moves so fast. And I think this has a very Netflixy feel to it in some level, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It's impossible to not get a Stranger Things vibe out of this movie. Certainly.
I've never seen Stranger Things.
Oh, you should. You'd love it. It's right up your alley, man. You should
watch
it.
And there's some serious Ghostbusters action going on in the second season.
This really feels like someone took a whole season of a Netflix show and just cut it way down to a movie. This is just, if you don't want to watch the whole all 9 episodes, there's a movie version. That's kind of what this felt like to me a bit, which isn't necessarily a problem. I mean, I guess if it left you wanting more, that's a good thing in some ways.
Release the Reitman cut. But which Reitman?
In the intro thing that they showed before we watched it, Jason Reitman's just like, yeah, my dad was just next to me the whole time.
Yeah.
So, you can just picture Ivan Reitman looking at him. What about if you do this thing? What about?
Or Jason going, well, I think I might do this. And Ivan doing that, Bugs Bunny gif. No.
But what if we put Slimer in there?
What about I put you in a home, Dad? Shut the fuck up and let me direct a movie.
Do I have to call Dan?
One of the things where they aforementioned Stay Puft Marshmallow Man bit that I did not like. But other than that, most of the callbacks in here were pretty fucking funny and good. There's like one moment towards the end relating to one of the most famous lines of the original movie that I laughed really hard. That was so funny.
It worked well. It works towards the way, because a lot of the callbacks just work towards the movie's plot itself. And it would make sense that that specific callback would happen with what happens.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about the movie is that for the most part, all of the callbacks are really just things to be like, this is what's going on. This is the reaction you should have for this sort of thing.
Sure.
This involves this specific thing that happened in this specific time frame.
Yeah. I mean, there's moments like have nothing to do with that, that are just like, I recognize what that is, even though it's not in relation. Like there's a scene where we said the kids go to jail and the girl's like, don't I get a phone call? The cop goes, who are you going to call? And of course everybody laughs and you're like, okay, there's moments like that too. But
that's probably
not
the cringiest moment in the entire movie, but I still laughed at it.
I did too. They're tearing up the town with this Ghostbusters equipment, and they're arrested for it, and that's kind of about it. Like, they impound the equipment, but nobody's ever like, this is fascinating. Like, wow, where did you get this stuff?
No one's actually lining up in front of their house going, you people owe me money. You destroyed my store.
Also, wouldn't, like, after an event of that type, the FBI be there within seconds?
Well, that's because all the cops disappeared, Chris.
Right, the cops disappeared.
Who's going to call? Yeah, that's the question.
No one to call.
They had no bars. Remember when they got there?
Yeah.
So they had no way to call anybody.
All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Mike, get us started.
I like this movie a lot, big shock. One of the reasons I really love this movie, because I didn't really get a chance to mention this, is that the feel of the film is closer to Ghostbusters 1. A lot of people have issues with Ghostbusters 2, which I can't blame them for being more cartoony and having a much more cartoony score for a lot of it, as well as being very edited to just be Ghostbusters 1. But this movie is different enough. It's got a score that's way closer to Ghostbusters 1. It has a lot of the same cues. As much as it was a nostalgia score, it still worked towards it, because that's the thing about that score. So you can put it goddamn to anything.
Yeah. It uses a lot of the leitmotif, so you recognize, but it's not just playing that original piece of the score. Yeah.
Shout out to Elmer Bernstein, the late, great Elmer Bernstein.
Right.
100%. Yeah, all of the actors are amazing in this. There's some guest stars that appear for like a second, and I'm not talking about just ghosts, but the the movie itself, like Chris said, it does feel like there's probably a longer version of this somewhere, existing somewhere, that has some of these scenes that we feel like are missing. It also has a Walmart that's way too big for a fucking town that small.
And way too underpopulated.
Yeah, how is no one at this Walmart?
It was just ridiculous. I looked at Frank, who was next to me, and I'm like, that Walmart's bigger than our Walmart. How in God's name is it in the middle of fucking nowhere, Oklahoma? This is stupid. There's so many great things. The effects are really good. They spent a lot of time working on the effects due to the pandemic, so they just kept tweaking everything to get it more and more perfect. I think it paid off a lot, especially with the fact that it's clear the budget is a lot smaller. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, I think you're really going to like this movie. There's so much going on in it. It's a great continuation of this plot. Like Ivan Reitman said, I can't wait to see my favorite directors want to make more Ghostbusters things. I really want this to do well, so we do get more Ghostbusters in general. This movie, again, proves, like the 2016 one, it doesn't have to be about four specific people. It can be about anybody versus the unknown, and that's really what Ghostbusters is all about.
One of them can even be about a woman.
Exactly. I would give it 9 out of 10 after credit scenes, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Marco?
I'm glad Mike brought up the 2016, which is not a movie I hated. I just didn't understand why people were so mad about it.
Mm.
We got this movie because I feel in a way that they had an opportunity to go in a new direction because Bill Murray wouldn't play ball. So we'll just do a whole new thing, you know, whole new universe, same thing, four great funny people. And then I thought Star Wars fans sucked. But boy, the Ghostbusters fans really got nasty. And we got this. And part of me is torn because I feel in a way this is the movie they wanted. And I think there's going to be a lot of people in the cinema this opening weekend who are going to be so happy. They're going to be in tears. They're going to be so grateful for this. And I know a not insignificant number of those people were the same folks who went online and were talking all kinds of just terrible, harassing trash.
Mm.
So part of me feels like, as much as I enjoyed this, I didn't really need it. And if I had to live in a world where they're making more Ghostbusters movies, or a world where those toxic assholes can die mad about it, I'll take the former. But we got one. And like Chris said, it's fun. You're going to occasionally question a lot of things. It's a lot of member berries, but they're more or less organically folded in. And like I said earlier, this is the training wheels version. This is the tutorial. This is what we do. These are what the things we need. This is the tone, where the story goes from there. Then I'll come back and reassess this. Mm. But as a one-off, it's fine. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 strange things lurking under your floorboards.
I think this is easily the most grounded of the four films. I think the problem with the reboot was that it went too hard into the absurdity and the goofy comedy.
Oh, 100%.
And there was just no sense of like that any of these people are real people at all. And the first movie was definitely much more comic than even this one is. This is really more of a dramedy for a lot of it than it is a flat out comedy. I mean, it is very funny at points, but it definitely chose to lose that sort of absurdist level that pretty much all the previous ones have. And I think if anybody has a problem with this film, that might be an issue for them, that they're like, oh, I kind of wanted it to at least feel more like a comedy. So much of this is sweet, weirdly. Like, there's a nostalgia level to this, of course, but a lot of that is used in a way that you kind of get the feels. Like, towards the end, I mean, I even teared up a little bit. I was really embarrassed about it, but I did. I was like, damn, man, I can't. And it was using a technique I usually fucking hate. And I was like, but it worked here. Shit. As well, there are things I was like, oh, well, you're kind of rebooting some of the more famous effects sequences from the first film that admittedly look dated and not great today. And you're doing it with a mix of practical and CG. And I was like, I kind of love this. I love what they're doing with it. This looks terrific. Overall, I liked all the characters here. I did kind of want more, and not just because, you know, I was enjoying it so much I wanted more, but it feels like there's gaps. You feel like we're missing stuff here that should have gone here. It's fun. It's light entertainment. But if you are a Ghostbusters fan, I think that you're probably, if you can get a hold of your cynicism and your determination to hate it, which I know some people already are just, I'm going to hate it no matter what. It's going to be terrible. I don't believe it's going to be good. If you can get over that and just try and go in this and watch it as a movie, it's pretty enjoyable. It's pretty pleasant. We're not reinventing the wheel over here, people, but it is the best Ghostbusters sequel by a mile. Sorry, fans of the second film. I mean, the villain of the second film is great. I'll give you that. And the logo was terrific.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but other than that, not really a big fan of that one. Anyway, 7 out of 10 Manhattan Crossrips of 1984. I'd never actually heard that as the term for what happened in the first movie. And I was like, I love the way that rolls off the tongue.
Oh, it's a great term to use. My other rating would have been 9 out of 10 weirdly dark, awkward jokes.
Yeah, the little girl's like, one of her gimmicks is like she tells jokes. 2 or 3 of them, I'd like, okay, I've heard this before. But there were a couple I was like, oh, that was good, man. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I liked them, my original one, which was, I'm 7 out of 10 drinks named Steve.